Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio.
Radio. About to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, December the 15th, as we enter into our second millennium of shows. I guess the second year, right, Bob?
Okay. That would be the second
year. Okay, second year. Hey, our phone line's here, 605-4567. We're chatting and streaming on KCNR1460.com. Thanks to everybody for yesterday, for all the great responses, all the great phone calls, the chat, the emails, the, you know, people delivering presents here. I never did see a bottle of bourbon, but flowers and all those, and everything that came through here in the cards. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your support. We ran into people last night. We were at a party last night. Jimbo.
Jimbo puts on a great party.
Jimbo puts on great parties, and Jimbo is plays that Christmas music over there on KLXR. The and ran into people that said, you know, that, oh gosh, you know, love your show, and we're not aware that we had had moved. So cards were handed out; they were happy. So thanks a lot, Dave, and you and your lovely wife. I hope you're listening today. Speaking of lovely wives.
Yes, there's an absence.
Yeah, that voice went down again. You know, here's the thing is that is you can see it coming, and so she took care of it Monday, came in, of course, yesterday. She wouldn't have missed. You couldn't have kept her away yesterday, and then last night it went away.
I told Brenda that Linda would have been here if they'd had to bring her in on a gurney.
That's right, yesterday. That's it. But so, honey, we're thinking of you, and I hope right now that you've got, you know, you've got like 12 different throat lozenges working on your throat. Okay. Hey, of course, we're joined by Bad Bob. Good morning, Bad Bob.
And good morning. See, I'm doing
yeah,
it, too.
I know. We're all doing it.
Would you like some weather, sir?
I would.
Okay, we do have a stormy weekend heading for Northern California this weekend and into next week. Big weather system out of the Gulf of Alaska going to bring rain and wind, snow into the higher elevations. Look for a high today of 55 in Redding. Tonight's low 29 under partly cloudy skies, currently 36 degrees downtown.
Weather always brought to you by Anselmo's. Anselmo's Vineyard, where on Friday, the 17th, it's going to be a great night. Some of Linda's friends are coming up, and they're going to be playing there, and the place is always packed during that time. It's going to be a great time, great dinner, and great music. They play jazz and blues. They're really good, Shelley and Bill. So, that's going to be Friday night. Now, in homage to my wife, those were the days. What happened today in 19... This was the day, December 15th, Gone with the Wind Day. Now, ordinarily, I wouldn't do this, except my mother loved this movie. Cinema Spectacular Gone with the Wind premiered at Lowe's Grand Theater in Atlanta, Georgia, on this day in 1939.
Frankly, my dear, you didn't give a damn.
Frankly, I wasn't even a gleam there. It was the first movie premiere ceremony to be televised. The governor of Georgia proclaimed the day a state holiday in commemoration of the event, and holiday celebrations continued for 3 days.
We don't do stuff like that anymore.
They do. They have these movie releases, but you know they walk down some kind of weird line.
The ho hum.
Right, but the famous line, which you already stole, that two versions of the film were produced. One contains Rhett Butler's famous farewell to Scarlett. Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. For including the word damn, Selznick was fined $5,000. The other version had Gable's Butler saying, frankly, my dear, I just don't care. Well, really, you know, I don't give a damn. That's just, you know what, film history. Okay. Hey, when we come back, we've got Sheriff Tom Sinkle's going to be here at 8 o'clock. We've got other guests coming in here, search and rescue types. But we've got a few things now that Linda's not here to put the choke chain on me that we're going to be talking about after we get back from these messages. Get on our 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. 7/12, December the 15th. It is cold out there, and it's going to get up to like 44 today, but it's going to get really cold tonight, and it's going to be a rainy weekend. So keep your umbrellas and keep your warm clothes and your in your wet weather gear close to you. Okay, Bad Bob came in today and snit. And he was telling me that this guy, Asaji, from the one that's head of WikiLeaks, and it's released all, you know, hundreds of thousands of documents. And by the way, the city of Berkeley, who was was going to vote to honor this private that released all these documents, private whatever his name is, private traitor, they were going to honor him as a hero in Berkeley. You heard about that, right?
They voted
last night to table it indefinitely. Oh, gee, you think? You know, the city's Peace and Justice Party thought it was a great idea. A Peace and Justice Party. You know what that reminds me of? The Peace and Justice Party. That reminds me of the French Revolution. When they would call the people, this is, you know, the Peace and Democracy Unit, and let's cut their heads off.
Is this the same bunch of idiots who told the fire department in Berkeley they could not fly American flags on the engines because it might offend somebody?
Well, those are the same groups that voted to close down the Marine recruiters there in Berkeley. And indeed, what happened was they had that one. They got smacked about the head and shoulders and decided, again, that wasn't a great idea. You know, we want to do talk about one more time, or as many times as we do, about the Derek Simonetta, 21 specialist Derek Simonetta, lives in Redwood City now, but was from Reading, went to school here, killed in Afghanistan along with five other of his mates on Sunday, killed by a suicide bomber. And of course, you know, when you read these things about the young man, and it seems like they're all, you see these on every one of these. He was just a great kid. Romero said. This is Randy Romero, his guidance counselor at Central Valley High School. He described him as a well-liked student who once played on the junior varsity football team. So, you know, they are great kids, and they grow up fast, and they enlist in our military. They know what's going to happen. I mean,
they know what
the stakes are. There's no surprise. There's nothing that says, oh, my God, I didn't know I was going to go to war. Every young man and woman who's enlisted in our armed forces from 9/11 on knew that their chance of getting into a gunfight were pretty good. A survey came out. I found this really interesting. This is in the Record Searchlight for those of you who still read dead trees. It saw a spike in population in Shasta County. Between 2000 and 2009, Shasta saw its population grow by nearly 10%, from 163,000 to 179,000. And by comparison, the state's population is projected to have climbed by 7% to 36 million. Here's the thing is it makes you wonder. I can understand somebody moving, you know, up here. You know, it's more reasonable. The people are a lot nicer. The air's cleaner, a lot more senior. It's just beautiful up here. I can understand moving up here. Moving to California, then I think, is that legally moved to California or illegally moved to California? And then I would think it's probably more than 7%. And did you know that Shasta County is older than most of California, thanks to Jim and Bad Bob? Well, the state's median age grew from 33.3 to 34.6 between 2000 and 2009. Shasta County saw its median age grow from 38.9 to 40.8. Yolo County was the youngest, with the median age of 29. Trinity County was the oldest. Median age up there was 50. You know, there's only 150 people that live in Trinity County. So, okay, I'm kidding about that. We're the, I don't know how else to put this, we're the seventh whitest county in the state, with 88.2% of the residents identifying themselves as members of this ethnic group. By comparison, California is 61.3% white, unless you live in Alameda, where it's 47% white. The whitest county is Sierra County, with 93.6% of the residents identifying themselves as white. Where's Sierra County?
Up there towards Garber. No, not.
Yeah. Anybody knows, just give us a call. Where is it exactly? All right. I just find that all those numbers are fascinating when you look at this. And this was done from census stuff, from the U.S. Census. Okay. Now, you'd always like to come in and say thanks. couple of new sponsors when Rivers rolled in here. Crystal Air, high efficiency heating and air, is in here. A little bell ringing for that. We get, you know, we like our sponsors, new sponsors, like all sponsors. We really appreciate our sponsors, and I hope you all do too. That's what allows us to keep moving forward here. The other thing is that next Monday is going to be a feast for the servicemen. It's going to occur at the Veterans Hall down on Yuba Street. It's going to start at 4 p.m. It's going to go to 8 p.m. It's a feast. It's a free dinner for those who serve military and families of deployed veterans and widows, firefighters, law enforcement, Forest Service, EMTs, public servants. Contact to help and cook or donate toys, and this is just to help or cook. It's not to pay. CVAC 530-524-1214, 524-1214. But that's going to be next Monday, December 20th, a turkey and ham dinner, 4 to 8 p.m. at Veterans Memorial Hall. This is great. Walmart's getting involved with this. Missing America Project getting involved with this. This is a good effort at this time of the year. Things are a little tight for a lot of people. Hey, Bob, we're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, we've got just a couple other things we're going to talk about. We have our first group of guests coming in here. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, 722. Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's voice has left her again. Today's December the 15th. This portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite. Right off Airport Road, Doug was slow and rolled through here yesterday. He puts in Dish TV, does a great job. It's a locally owned business. He's a veteran, been in business since 1985. He's got rebates for you right now that you can get free HD TV. It's true. You can get free HD TV via Dish, lots of channels, but you got to give them a call, 244-1988. That's 244-1988. Why would you pass this up if you're, I don't know about you, but I always used to be getting cable bills. They kept going up. And I'm not going to get into this. But every time you call them, oh, no, we're sorry, we'll take some off your bill. But it always goes up like 5%, 10%. I can never understand that. Hey, teen marijuana use rising after years of decline. More American high school seniors are smoking marijuana daily now than any other time since the early 1980s and are actually smoking more pot than cigarettes. I wonder if that's better for you. About 6% of high school seniors reported smoking marijuana daily in a new survey, which involved more than 46,000 teens in the 8th, 10th, and 12th grades. That's up from 2% in 1991 and the same percentage that smoked daily in 1981. The survey results show an end to almost a decade of declining rates of pot use. And they come as a sharp disappointment to anti-drug advocates. And it's blamed, they think it's part of the blame is because of the national discussions on medicinal marijuana and legalizing pot.
Well, there's a shocker.
Where have we heard that before? When you talk about the potential health benefits of marijuana, it's equivalent of saying heroin is a great pain medication, so you shouldn't be wary of it, said Dr. Nora Volklov, director of the National Institute on Drug Abuse, which founded the study. 8% of 8th graders and 21% of high school seniors reported having smoked marijuana at least once in the previous 30 days when the survey was taken earlier this year. Yeah, well, where'd they take it at? Was this all over the United States? Was it, you know, was this down in Marin County or was this up here? I mean, you always have to ask yourself, you know, where do they take these things? And then Shasta County just put a moratorium on marijuana dispensaries in the county. They put off the vote for another year.
Did you read Brave New World when you were in college?
Probably. I don't remember years of my college. if you go to college in the 60s and say you remember it, you're lying.
I just wonder, is pot our soma? Is it being government sanctioned to keep the populace in a pacifist, easily herded state?
Well, you know, I've heard that before, and you know, I could believe that. I could believe the fact that, you know, the more panaceas you put out there, the part I don't understand is this: medicinal marijuana, right? It's medicinal. You have a doctor say that you need it. It's not a prescription. You can't be because it's federally banned. But a doctor says, "Oh my God, you need medicinal marijuana because you know what? Your teeth are crooked, and I could see where that could cause you stress, and you know, you need medicinal marijuana to fix that." When do we see the point where the where that person turns to the county, to the state, to the nanny government and says, hey, the doctor says I need marijuana. I can't afford it. I think you should buy it for me. You give drugs to other people.
Yeah.
When's that going to happen, dude? I mean, is that possible? I mean, why not? Why haven't we seen that? I can't wait. I just can't wait. Anyway, medicinal marijuana is, we're going to have a story at the beginning of next year for some people up in, we're working on one up in Trinity County. It's not nice up there. It's not nice at all. The amount of growers, what it's doing to the people up there, what it's doing to the land. We've talked about this. We hit this hard a couple months ago, and, you know, the only thing that happens is that more is grown, less is done about it. Two more of my favorite things here before we get to the break. People who refuse to take responsibility. Here we go. I've got two of them right here. A judge ruled against Lorillard, which I assume is a cigarette maker. Lorillard. To pay damages to a dead smoker's family for allegedly enticing the woman and other black children with free cigarettes given out decades ago. Evans versus Lorillard was the first case to claim the company targeted minorities, including young children with samples of Newport cigarettes in the early 1960s. Does anybody ever remember getting free cigarettes from stores or anything like that?
You used to mail them out. I remember that. Yeah.
Did they?
Yeah, there were, and of course
you used to get them in. You know, used to get them in the in your food packs, your C-Rats.
Yeah.
In the military, but that's different. I mean, you're in the military. Anyway, they're saying is that she was given cigarettes when she was 9 years old, and the Superior Court ordered Lorillard to pay $50 million in damages to the estate of Marie Evans, and $21 million to her son. And she died of lung cancer in 2002 at age 54 after smoking Newports for 40 years. She gave testimony on video that she got samples of Newports near her home in a Boston low-income housing project when she was young as nine. And Lorillard denies the plaintiff's claim that the company sampled to children or adults at Orchard Park. And they said that they were contradicted. All of her memories were persuasively contradicted by testimony from several other witnesses. Anyway, this is... Again, I go back to the point is, one, you're saying that they were sending free samples to the house so that you were smoking when
you
were nine?
It was a very brief thing. Well, no, it was, I do recall during the late 60s, yes, there were some companies that sent out some samples. The FTC jumped, the equivalent of the FTC at the time, jumped on it within months, but it was right in the middle of the first counterattack from Big Tobacco on the anti-smoking stuff.
Okay. Well, you know, but the thing is, it still goes back to, you know, smoking's not good for you.
Yeah,
so,
it's still a personal decision.
It's a personal decision. If you enjoy it, go on and do it. That's fine with me. It's, you know what? It's your right. But just remember what's going on the end of it. I mean, if something goes wrong, it's like driving your car at 100 miles an hour. Hey, it feels good, but if something happens. And the other one is there's a drunken driver here that killed a family of four and was sentenced to 17 years because he was drunk. He's pleading for clemency. You know, I tell you what. When the young mother, her 19-month-old son, her sister, and her teenage woman arise and walk over and sign the papers is when you should get clemency, partner. You were drunk, way drunk, and you killed them. Your idea of clemency, they have no clemency where they're at.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's just ridiculous when I see things like that. You know, pay for what you did. Okay, when we come back, we have got Shasta County Rescue People here. Then we got Tom Basinko right after that. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, right here on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning, 7:34, December the 15th. It is going to be cold. If you have a brass monkey, bring it in. That's so much for Bob and the news and the weather, huh? Okay, Bob, go on.
All right, partly patchy fog this morning, clearing off high 51. Partly cloudy tonight, low around 29, currently 37 in Redding.
What exactly is a patchy fog? Is that the kind
well,
of...
Well, actually, that's what I encountered
sneak,
this
sneak up on you, or what? What is this? Apache fog.
Just
got that, huh, Bad Bob? Okay, let's just move on. Linda's not here today because her throat is gone. She started losing it. You know, she was resting it Monday. Then yesterday, she wouldn't have missed yesterday. You had to tie her down, and she wanted to... You know, of course, yesterday was our first anniversary of the station. And then last night, you hear it going again. So she's got to get well. So she's the... She's in bed right now, sucking on throat lozenges and drinking this strange mixture that people, you know, give her. It's, you know, vitamin C and everything. But our guest, who is coming in here now, Diane Green. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
Oh, you have a great
radio voice.
We're going to might have to have you come in here and do commercials. Huh? She's with the Shasta County Ground Search and Rescue.
Yes.
Okay. So... You've come in today to talk about that, and also I think you've got some fundraisers going.
We do. We're always looking for funds, and we're also looking for volunteers. So thought I'd come down and tell a little bit about what we do and where we're going to be this weekend.
Okay. Now, so what does the y'all are all volunteers, of course, and are you kind of organized under the sheriff or not?
Yes. Well, we're individual groups or teams. But we are called out by the sheriff's office and by the Office of Emergency Services. So our groups, the volunteers pay for everything, all their equipment, everything they have. And we secure donations from benefactors in the community and from community citizens to be able to do what we do.
Okay. Now, the ground search and rescue. Is this, do you all hike around? You have horses, you have snowmobiles and all those kind of things?
The ground team, we're called the ground pounders. We're the ones that go out on foot, and we're out looking for people, evidence in the wilderness and in urban situations. Search and rescue in the county, we have a mounted horseback team. We have trackers. We have a Jeep team. We have all sorts of different teams that do specialty things in search and
especially
rescue.
Searches. Okay.
Yes.
How many times a year are you all called out?
It really depends. Lately, we've gotten called out quite a bit. Most recently for the Gene Berlinghoff.
How many times did y'all go out for that?
Well, we only went out once, looking for clues and evidence around the vehicle up in Castella, and we spent a day up there trying to see what we could find.
Well, she was down in San Francisco.
Yeah.
With this guy. That's a strange case, too, but, I mean, it's none of what you want to talk about. We're going to talk about it someday. How can we help? You say you've got something going on this weekend?
Yes. We had a local benefactor in the community donate 500 kits for gardening. They donated it to our 501c3, which is a nonprofit. And what we're doing is we're taking those kits and we are giving them as thank you gifts to community members who make a donation of $10, whatever they can give.
These kits are worth money. I mean, these are specifically designed for gardening. They're ergonomically designed, so it makes your life easier. A donation of $10 is a great donation. I mean, you'll get a great gift out of this, and you've got 500 of these, so where are you going to be selling them at?
I don't mean sell.
I mean, where are you going to have them so people can donate?
We're going to be at Lowe's. We were at Lowe's this last weekend, and we're going to be at Lowe's again this weekend on Saturday and Sunday. We'll have a little table set up there and some of our equipment, talk to people about what we do, and if people will stop by and give a donation, we'll be happy to give them one of these kits. Great gifts. Packaged nicely, and they'll be great in the spring.
Question is: Are there any regular funding sources for you all?
No, our regular funding source are the volunteers.
Yes, they just fund themselves and things. Okay.
Yes.
And again, where's this going to be at?
This is going to be in Lowe's and
in
Reading
okay.
on East Cypress.
I can't. You know, I have not seen the kit that you are giving to people that donate, but it was described to me. By the gent who invented these things, and does he want his name? Is there a reason we can't use his name?
Oh, well, Nick Webb. He's the one who secured the donation from our local company that he works with. Uh-huh. And, yeah, these kits, they were developed by a medical research company. They look a little strange, but they work great. They prevent torsion and twisting in the wrist.
Yeah, you can dig a lot better. It's a great gift for Christmas.
It really is.
And all the money goes to the Shasta County Search and Rescue. We're going to take a quick break here. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott, 605-4567. We're chatting at KCNR 1460, December the 15th, 744 in the morning. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive, finest walk-in humidor ever. Espresso Joe's, the coffees you want at great prices, fixed 50 or 60 different ways, and great Christmas presents there. Jingle Bell Crunch. They have all types of coffees that you can buy, special coffees for Christmas. So drop down and see Joe and Shelley, Great Americans, support our community. That's Tobacco and Brew. Our guest is Diane Green from the Shasta County
Search and Rescue.
I know that. That's called a pause. So people will lean forward into the radio, Bob. See? It also could be I couldn't find my paper. But it was a pause on purpose. Shasta County Ground Search and Rescue. Mm. Now, we have Nick Webb on the phone. Nick, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Carl. How are you?
Well, now you are the one that donated all that stuff to the...
The reason I wanted to mention something is this is an interesting technology. This was developed by the Orthopedic Research Institute, a world-famous institute based out of Wichita, Kansas, and actually was an orthopedic surgeon that designed this, because he saw a lot of his hand gardeners were developing soft tissue injuries. So the kit is sold, they've sold hundreds of these kits for $29.95. It comes with a cultivator. It comes with a shovel. It comes with an inflatable kneeling pad. And it also comes in with an instructional DVD called Happy Healthy Gardening. And that's really important because it provides a lot of tips from doctors on everything from how to protect yourself from sun exposure to the proper way to lift. 90% of people who use gardening products are 50-plus. Many of those people have already soft tissue injury. So it is a tremendous value for $29. And what's great about this is I was so impressed with the Shasta County Search and Rescue Ground Team, because you've got a lot of these dedicated people that are literally putting their life on the line. And for the fact that they don't have, in many cases, helmets or basic protective gear is absolutely shameful. So if there's anybody that wants to buy a great gift and to help out a bunch of wonderful people that are sort of the unsung heroes in our community, I think going to Lowe's and buying one of these products... That
donating. Well, hey, Nick, I really appreciate, again, what you've done for the community. And mm-hmm. This is something. It costs between $500 and $700 to outfit a volunteer with their pack and their helmet and all the gear they should have. And that comes out of their own pocket. So if we can raise, $10,000, $8,000, that this is going to go a long way in protecting those who are out there doing good work for us, and they are unsung heroes.
Yeah, and I know the economy is tight, but to donate $10 to $30 and get something that's worth $30 in return, I think is a no-brainer. And my part's easy, and that's begging for donations. The hard part are the people who go out and literally risk their life to try to save another life. And I think if there's anything that somebody can do to show up, they're going to get a great value, and they're going to help out a wonderful organization in the process.
Great. Okay, hey, Nick, thanks a lot.
Hey, you bet. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You bet. Bye-bye. Wow. So what do you think?
Great.
Diane, it's something people need to think about, too, here for Christmas for next year with the advent of medical marijuana everywhere in the world, is that these little kits could probably help them grow next year's crop.
Probably.
It's doing a good thing. They're sick. They need this medicine that they're taking. So I think that, it's here, right here. It's just right here going down to Lowe's on Saturday. they could get a, give a donation, and then they could have something that would also help their health.
And when they get lost, we'll come find them.
They forget where they live.
When they're absolutely confused and don't know where they're at, we'll be there for them.
I feel good. I just don't know where I'm at. Okay. All right. Okay. Here comes the chat room. Just lay off, guys. Okay. Just lay off. And it's just a little humor here. It's December the 15th, close to Christmas. Okay. You know what you do, Diane, is a great thing. And you know, Nick captured it. Is that you all go out there? You don't have to do things like this. It's like volunteer firemen. You go out. You risk your lives. I mean, it may not be a firefight or something like that, but you're out there, and there can be people hurt. I'm sure there has been.
Oh yeah. Usually people are hurt, and it is dangerous. That's why we have to train. We train extensively, and we make sure that we're adequately prepared and equipped to go out there and do what we need to do. We go into wilderness situations. We're trained and prepared to stay out overnight up to 72 hours, and we carry all of our gear on our back.
Do you ever get involved in things like helping with evacuations during wildland fires, things of that nature?
Absolutely. We go out for evacuations. Assist with that. We have our mounted team that assists with animal evacuations. Yep. Wow. We do that. Natural disasters, flooding. We can be called upon for any sort of...
Are you like a posse?
Well, we have groups that are posses, but no, we're ground pounders. We just go out there and we just
pound the pavement, but you're under the sheriff's direction of it.
Though. Yes, we are. We're called out by them, yes.
Okay, so that's not something you just do by yourselves. The sheriff will make the phone calls, start the phone tree going, I'm sure, and then you all will go out. And
absolutely. We also train to OES standards, Office of Emergency Services, and those standards enable us to be able to assist in mutual aid situations.
Do you have any restrictions on who can join?
Well, you can have a criminal record. But absolutely not. You need to be over 18 years old, but there's a place for everybody. A lot of people think that you need to be extremely physically fit. There are lots of things that can be done with people assisting.
Support.
Support services, helping with communication.
Not everybody has to hold the rifle with the bayonet.
Well, we don't have any weapons, thank goodness.
But what I mean is that the people out can be, they need support by people that may not be able to be out in the field.
Right.
Absolutely.
And Nick, fundraising and communications and assisting at the incident command during an actual search mission.
Sure.
There's lots that can be done.
Well, Diane Green from the Shasta County Ground Search Rescue Group, thanks a lot for coming in.
Thank you for
having
me.
And tell us again now, it's going to be Lowe's.
We're going to be at Lowe's Saturday and Sunday between 9 a.m. to 6 p.m.
You're going to be like out in front there?
Yeah, by the exit.
By the exit.
You won't be able to miss us. And please just come, stop by. If you're interested in joining, we can talk to you about it.
Do you have a phone number if people wanted to call?
Well, actually, we have a website, and it's www.ShastaCountySAR.org.
www.ShastaCountySAR.org.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks a lot, Diane.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, you know what? You all do a good thing. You know, we like to have people on that do things for our community, and they do it in selfless. I mean, you do it because you want to. You do it because it's the right thing. That's why we like it here. That's why I think people move to Reading. Because they know there's people up here like that do the right thing, that help take care of each other. Yeah, we've got dirtbags out there. Everybody does. But the vast majority of the people I've met here in Reading are just like you.
They're awesome.
So thank you very much for what you do.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to take a break here. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460. Good morning, Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's voice is gone, so talk radio without a voice is, you know, it's kind of it's an oxymoron, I guess. It's December 15th. It's 7:55 in the morning. We've got a few minutes left here. Sheriff Tom DeCinco is our guest for the next hour, and he's aboard, so we'll get to him right after the news. Let's go to Dick. Dick, you want to talk about Salvation Army?
Yes, good morning, Carl and Linda. Salvation Army still has some open spots for bell ringers. And keep in mind, this bell ringing starts Friday after Thanksgiving and goes till Christmas Eve, and then it's all over, and we have to raise enough money to run our program for the rest of the year on this bell ringing program. So anybody that's got two extra hours that they can give to the Salvation Army to stand by a door at one of our businesses and ring a bell and collect some money for the good work that they do here in Shasta County.
Okay, now, Dick, you know, Linda and I are going to be at Walmart tomorrow between 2 and 4. Okay, everybody out there, stop by, say hello to us, drop off some of that extra change. We're going to be at Walmart from 2 to 4, and I have a bell ringing technique that is just guaranteed to bring money.
Great.
Oh, it does, because I ring it at people. I can tell the types of that people are, and I ring the bell in that way. You know, it's just these little nuances. You know, certain people have certain looks. You got to ring the bell a certain way. But the big thing is for people get up, volunteer, go down to the Salvation Army, say, hey, I want to stand out for an hour or two in front of some place. You got hundreds of them. Doesn't have to be Walmart if you don't want to be seen there. It can be any place. You can go out there, ring the bell, and what's the number of people I have to call to sign up for this?
Call Sylvie at the Salvation Army. It's 222-2207. That's
5-2 and a 0 and a 7.
222-2207. Right.
Even I can remember that, Dick. Hey, are you out ringing the bell, Dick?
I'm going to Greeters this morning and try to resurrect a few more bell ringers there, and then I've been doing bell ringing. One of the things that we did is we got our Ducks Unlimited committee to cover two doors at the Safeway store on Pine and Cypress for the whole day, and we had all the guys out there, and just really worked great. Collected quite a bit of money for them. Dick Wilkinson, if you want to give that, go to Dick Wilkinson's Red Barn lighted Christmas lights on Barrel Street. He's got a bell ringing kettle out there, and that'll start Friday and go through all next week, and that's another good place
that's
you
cool.
can donate while you're looking at lights.
Like I said,
and there's just a lot of people in the community helping out here with the Salvation Army.
Okay, so if you haven't signed up, this is a good thing to do. You know, take your kids out there with you and go on out, 222-2202. Give them a call. Give Sylvia a call. Sign up for someplace. Take the kids with you. Come on. Let's go out there and ring the bell for a couple hours. I guarantee you, you're going to feel better after it's done. All right.
And it's 222-2207.
Did I say 02? I meant 07.
I know you did.
Okay, Dick. So
all right, thanks, Carl.
You
Bye.
Bet. Bye. Dick does a lot of things for the community, too. So 222-2207, Salvation Army, sign up so you all can go out there and ring the bell. Linda and I are going to do it tomorrow from 2 to 4 at Walmart. At Walmart, we'll ring the bell. And, you know, Colin McAvoy of 7R said that he made $300 and it was a new record. I think not, Colin. I think that we can do better than that. Okay. Next hour, Sheriff Tom Basinkle. And we've got a lot of questions for the good sheriff for this year and about next year. You know, things that I've been reading in the paper, things that we've been talking about today, in fact, that should be interesting to talk to the good sheriff about. Bad Bob. How cold,
yes, sir.
How cold is it going to be tonight? 29.
Going to get down to 29, so you may want to wrap the pipes, that sort of thing.
29 degrees. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
You're listening to KCNR Shasta Redding.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. 8:05, December the 15th, as we enter into the second year of KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media. Phone lines here are 605-4567, and we're chatting on KCNR1460.com, and we're streaming at the same time. You know, you can get on the computer there, and, you know, the sheriff's in the office. For all you people down in the sheriff's office, here's the time. Now, come up on the computer, be listening to see what the sheriff says. It's good. He'll ask you later, so you might want to turn it on.
Can I just jump
good
in?
Good morning, Carl.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. On the chat rooms, if you are having trouble with the chat room, Internet Explorer, Microsoft came out with an update today that it may be causing some problems. So if you're experiencing trouble staying in the chat room, reboot your computer or maybe use the Firefox browser instead while this patch kind of takes effect.
Okay, it's 37 degrees out. It's going to be about a high of, I think, 44 today. It's going to get down to 29 tonight. We should be clear today, but I think the rain's going to start up tomorrow, and we're going to have a pretty rainy weekend. So keep that cold weather gear next to you. This portion of the show is brought to you by B&T Satellite, right off of Airport Road. Doug Tooley puts in Dish Satellite. He's got rebates right now that you can get free. Dish Satellite, free. Hundreds of channels, HD. Just give him a call at 244-1988. That's 244-1988. Talk to Heather, talk to Doug. But if you need to you need to make that switch, and you switch to a local guy, a veteran, somebody's been doing business since 1985. Our guest today, Sheriff Tom Basenko.
Good morning, Carl.
It's a regular update.
It is a regular update. I'm here usually once a month and just talk about things at the sheriff's office, things going on, things that can impact your listeners, our citizens. And congratulations on your second year.
Well, thank you. You know, making it through the first year. You know, it's kind of like, yeah, I'm working on my second million. The first million, I didn't make that, but it's I understand the second one's easier.
And so. I hope your lovely wife, Linda, gets to feeling better.
Well, you know, it started over the weekend, and we knew Tuesday was going to be a big day with the anniversary of the station, and so she was in here, but people could tell that her voice was hurting. And then last night it got worse. And you know, it's just not something you just keep pushing. There's a lot of people out there sick.
Right.
So
right.
Okay, hey, did you see the news? Did you see the new statistics for the county by any chance? We've grown over the last 10 years.
Oh, yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
By a bigger margin, we're at 13-point-something, as opposed to 7% for the state, that we've gotten a little bit older up here in Shasta County, the median age of residents has gone up.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, that affect... Things like that, does that affect the sheriff's office?
Oh, absolutely. The population growth, absolutely, because then as you get more people, then you can have, to a degree, more reported crime, because there's more people to be victims, if you will. Different types of crime, as you talked about, older population, then you could run into elder abuse. Not that that's the median group there, but the elder abuse. Fiduciary matters of people taking care of them and taking advantage of them. So there's a lot of change. But mainly with more increased population, you have more demand on public safety services. More use on the roads because everybody drives. You could have more traffic collisions, more DUIs, and that can impact the cities as well because they usually everybody comes here to Reading to shop. You have more crime and calls. District attorney gets more cases. Courts get more cases. We don't have any room at the jail sometimes. Because a lot of good people move up here, but also, unfortunately, the bad people move up here.
You know, if you're going to have that in every society. And we're going to take a quick break here. Our guest, the Sheriff Tom Basenko. When we come back, we're going to be talking the recent cases that have been in the news and a few other things that are going on with the Sheriff's Department. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. Our phone lines here are 605-4567, or you can chat with us at KCNR1460.com and listen to us and stream on the same website. And there's a lot of you on here, and we're going to get to your questions. It's 8:13 in the morning, December the 15th. Okay, our guest is Sheriff Tom Basenko on our regular update here, and I really enjoy this because we can get the word out. This is what community radio should be.
Exactly.
It should be an outlet for our elected officials to be able to talk to the people and be asked questions and answer questions.
Well, so that's what we're here for. We represent the people and be available to them, and that's another form of communication, reaching out. And I appreciate you taking the time to have me on here.
Well, you know what? This is what when we started the station. That's what it was for, and I'm glad that it's we progressed to this. Okay, here's some questions coming in. I would like to talk about the Burlinghoff case and the amount of money it cost the county, the Reading Police Department, and the state of California to investigate. That's part one.
Part one. I can answer part of that because I can't account for the other agencies, but I can tell you it was a wad of money. Just for the sheriff's office, we probably expended at least $40,000 in overtime and some travel. For the state, CHP were some great partners in this investigation, and they had air resources, such as their helicopter up here, assisting us in searching of the areas, like up in the Castella area. They flew us down to San Francisco when he was arrested and Gene was located. That's not cheap. Investigators are looking at it. We had tons of resources from Canada to Mexico, California to Florida, and tons of databases. So a lot of time and energy and resources expended on this case.
But, you know, in a case like this, I mean, you have no choice to do that.
That's,
I mean,
it's our job.
And I don't think anybody, you know, when it first broke was, you know, would even think anything else. But there was questions about the Amber Alert.
There was a ton of questions. CHP works with all law enforcement agencies. There was a big controversy in a media outlet that we were denied the request. That is not factual. We make the request. We go over. There's very strict criteria for an Amber Alert. And we go over it with them. And they say, hey, it doesn't meet the criteria. Our staff even talked to the captain in charge of the Amber Alert system. It's called the INTAC, which is the Emergency Notification Center for the state. That's where Amber Alerts come from, in Sacramento. And hey, it doesn't meet the criteria. And in fact, if you knowingly say that it meets the criteria and it does not, then that's actually a violation of law. So that's why.
And they said it did not meet the criteria.
Did not meet the criteria. There's basically four criteria. Number one, it's not any particular order of it, but I'll just read them off. One, you have to have an abduction. There was no abduction. All the information we had at the time of the report, she left voluntarily with Charles Berlinghoff. All throughout the investigation, that was remained the same. And at the when we found her, that is still the same. You have to have, the person has to be endangered of serious bodily injury or death. We didn't have any information on that. The other one is by putting it out, there was, and it has to be timely, so it has to, can't be like 4 days old. When we were finally were aware of this, when it was reported, it was about 7 hours old already when it was finally reported to the sheriff's office. So it wasn't quite timely. And then the other one is, by putting out the Amber Alert, will it assist in locating the individual? So maybe a couple of those apply, but the biggest ones that do not apply, no abduction and no great bodily injury, death.
Another question that came in here is, so you consider Gene to be complicit in this?
She voluntarily left with the information that we have, is she voluntarily left with Charles Berlinghoff.
Okay. All right. Another question that came through here was, what happens when you see from, if you see a bunch of young male types that look like gangbangers, what you, I mean, and they're not causing any trouble right then, it appears, but what can an average citizen do?
Your average citizen is, number one, be aware, and that's being aware of your surrounding, kind of, you're aware of it, situational awareness, what's going on around you. And then if they feel uncomfortable, if it looks suspicious to them, to call the local law enforcement agencies. For Reading Police Department and the Sheriff's Office, it's the same number, 245-6540 for non-emergencies. And if they think that it is an emergency, of course, call 911.
Big thing is just keeping your eyes open and just having, be aware of what's going on out there.
Absolutely.
If this looks like there's problems, then you probably need to call somebody.
You can report it as a suspicious gathering, people loitering. Law enforcement come by, check those out, see if they have warrants, see if they're up to no good, or if it's just a gathering of kids.
Yeah, and sometimes, we'll see different groups of kids in the neighborhood that, you know, we've never seen them before, and we've, you know, that they just are walking up and down the street. That's kind of, you know, for us, that's it's interesting in the sense when you don't see them, and then they're up, then they're, mm-hmm. you know, they're teenagers, young teenagers
right.
walking around, and especially with the other things that are going on with right. break-ins.
But are they teens from the area?
I mean,
are they not? Does it not look right?
Are they a group of Bethel types? Or
sometimes
just walking around. I mean, you know, but you never see them again, and we never had any problems. So.
Sometimes those hairs on the back of your neck aren't wrong.
Yeah, that's true. Just because you know, you're paranoid doesn't mean somebody is not out there
That's
trying
right.
to get you.
That's
okay.
Right.
Hey, look, we're going to take a quick break here. Our guest is Sheriff Tom Vasenko. We're going to be talking about new equipment We're going to be talking about the search and rescue people and a new appointment in the Sheriff's Department. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's got real throat problems this time, and she's croaking. She croaks, and, it just doesn't work on radio if you just sit there and you make these sounds. I mean, you know, it works sometimes, I guess, but depending, I guess, on what station. 605-4567, if you've got a question for the good sheriff. Of course, we're getting hundreds of chat questions and things. And, you know, yes, I'm getting your questions, but they're going by so fast, unless Bob's pulling them out, I don't see them all the time. So we go back and we'll keep asking as we go along. Sheriff, search and rescue. We just had Diane in here.
Yeah,
but you had a couple comments you wanted to talk about.
They are some very dedicated and committed individuals, men and women, that do this job simply for service and to save others, so that others may live. That's their motto, so that others may live. And again, you know, if you're on the dive team, the dive posse, you're talking anywhere from $2,000 low end for dive gear to the sky's the limit of an average, probably right around $5,000 for dive gear. Mountain rescue equipment, very technical, high dollar stuff as well. If you got a Jeep, everybody that owns a Jeep or a pickup knows the expense for those things, and they're doing it out of the goodness of their heart.
Well, that's the thing, is it is out of the goodness of their heart. And this is, again, another group of people up here in Shasta County and in the North State that just do good things for their neighbors. They don't ask for, you know, I look at them, I look at MIP, I look at PGR, I look at so many of these chair, and, you know, Rob Burrows.
We have,
you know,
such a great, you know, giving community.
Maurice Johannesson. I mean,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you just can go on and on and on about this.
I talked to Maurice yesterday. The chapel is going well.
It is.
Some donations aren't coming in as much. He needs a few more donations. He's still writing the checks for it, and it's going to be a great addition out to our veteran cemetery out there.
Oh, absolutely.
But these search and rescue individuals during the bank robbery last December in Reading, they came out and assisted with the evidence search, and they were on their hands and knees crawling through the grass and found every expended casing except one in the grass. So it's they were literally feeling their way through, looking, trying to get every piece of evidence and helping us out. And they help other agencies as well. Some great people. We couldn't do our job without them.
You know, it's like, again, those are people that you don't think about, but they're always out there. They're always they're always available to help. And
you know, and thanks to Nick Webb for that donation there to help them out to gather equipment. That's super.
Yeah, you know, Nick was, you know, I was talking with Nick yesterday, and it was about that, and he was just amazed. He says, people go out there without helmets.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as he got a chance, he wanted to help out. You've got a couple of things we wanted to talk about here. Also, we have a new undersheriff.
We do. My career-long friend, Greg Wrigley, we kind of grew up in the department and developed. He became my undersheriff when I became sheriff. And then he gave me 4 very dedicated years as being undersheriff, 30 years with the sheriff's office, SWAT team commander. He pulled the pin and retired. And is now working for another company over in Afghanistan right now with canines, and he was a canine handler. But so I had to pick a new undersheriff, and did some interviewing, and selected Captain Sheila Ashman as my undersheriff, and she did a lot of firsts. She was the first female lieutenant that I promoted in the organization. She became the first captain, and now she becomes the first female undersheriff for the Shasta County Sheriff's Office in our 160 years of being Sheriff's Office.
Wow. Now, what did Sheila do before she came to you?
A little bit of everything. She was, of course, a deputy, worked in the jail patrol. She became a sergeant, worked in the jail, our civil unit, on patrol as a sergeant as well, was in detectives, became a lieutenant. She was in charge of our methamphetamine task force, CalMet, and was doing a great job there, received a promotion. And then She was a lieutenant in the jail also, and then became captain, and then very short time later I selected her as my undersheriff.
Was she in the jail? She wasn't working with the in the coroner's office or anything like that?
No, she hasn't worked in the coroner's office. There's another lady down there that is a female lieutenant that sat in charge of our coroner's office and stuff, Janet.
We know Janet. And, yeah, well, that's good. It's a great, I mean, that's
a great individual. If you want to have her on here sometime, I think she'd love to talk to you.
Of course we would. Yeah, anybody that's involved with the... with our community and the what's going on. Let's go to the phones here. Hey, John, good morning.
Good morning, Carl, and good morning in absentia, Linda and Bad Bob. Good morning, Tom. How you doing this morning?
Very good, John.
Hey, listen, the other day, the outgoing DA, Jerry Benito, was on the show, and he said that prosecutions would be evaluated somewhat on the budget limitations of the office. Besides the revolving jail releases that are going on, how do you see the budgets affecting your ability to control crime in the cities, and I mean in the county, I'm sorry.
You know, that's an excellent question. I have that down in my notes, too, for budget and VLF, and it affects all operations. Unfortunately, a lot of things get down to dollar and cents, so lower priority calls, the infamous what we call the cat in the tree, it'll take lower priority. Call times could go up. Some cases that don't have any suspects or leads won't be worked over the ones that have leads and suspects. And that is not just here in Shasta County. That's statewide also. That's happening to agencies all over the place. I believe it's Sacramento chooses not to prosecute misdemeanor crimes in the DA's office there because of budget and staffing. And we're looking at a pretty substantial impact to our budget with vehicle license fees. And if there's not a renewal of a percentage of license fees in June, Shasta County Sheriff's Office could be hit with a $1.5 million loss. And in the county, Shasta County, another $1.5 million for like district attorney and probation combined. So a total of $3 million bucks, and I can tell you it's not there.
Hey John, we're going to take a break here in a few seconds, but we're going to carry on with this thread on the other side too. But we talked about this before. Which one that was going to go away was going to sunset?
That's VLF, vehicle license fee. So a percentage of your vehicle license fee, I believe it's 15%, goes towards public safety programs, and if that sunsets, it's devastating for the entire state. It just becomes more zeros when you're with a big agency.
Okay. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio. Our guest is Sheriff Tom Pasenko. We're going to be talking more about budget when we get back and a few other things, new equipment, everything for the Sheriff's Department. Join us after these messages. Welcome back, Free Fire Radio. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. 8:34 in the morning, December the 15th. Linda is listening, but she can't talk. Hey, did you know that 80% of the average household's energy consumption is related to heating, air conditioning, and water heating systems? GeoExchange Heating and Air Conditioning has proven it can cut your heating and air conditioning consumption by 50 to 60%. That translates into a total energy bill reduction of 40 to 50%. Call Crystal Air, 623-1000. Crystal Air, 623-1000. Okay, our guest is Sheriff Tom Pasenko, and we've been talking about cases. Now, let's going back to the budget. Tom, you know, if this thing sunsets, is that's not the death knell, but what's that? I mean, right now how much have the response rates?
Have they
slowed?
To a degree, and then the cases we can work. Again, I talked about the prioritization of those cases, but it's huge for that $1.5 million. With that. Has in here, of course, people are tied to that money. That's the biggest thing is remember our staff and the people. But we'd lose financing for our methamphetamine task force, a 5-county methamphetamine task force for high-end dealers. There's 41 of those task forces statewide. Those would all go down the tubes. Booking fees. We charge a booking fee to the police departments to book inmates. They get reimbursed through this vehicle license fee. That means I'd end up charging the police department booking fees, and that would have to come out of their budget. That impacts their budget, their staff. A sexual offender, we call it SAFE, sexual assault felony enforcement. that we go out and make sex offenders be compliant and check up on them. That grant would go away.
So what we're talking about is just going just the very basics to keep the head above water.
Exactly.
Now, does Reading Police Department get hit by the same thing?
Absolutely.
So
booking fees, they're part of CalMet.
Yeah.
They participate in the SAFE grant. They get citizens' options for public safety. That's another, some grant money that we call it COPS. They impact it all over. I was just at a meeting in San Mateo with state sheriffs, and for us it's $1.5 million. For Southern California large agency, it's $30 million for her budget. Huge, huge.
Tom, we've reached the point where we're going to have to, I don't want to use the word militia. That's not the right word. How about a posse that you have of people that we get involved with, you know, with phones and radios to be your eyes and ears.
Well,
and things like that.
Within the sheriff's office,
criminal response things.
We do have in the sheriff's office. We have citizens volunteer patrols. Again, some very dedicated people patrolling their communities, Cottonwood, Happy Valley, Old Shasta,
right.
Shingletown, and so that's a way to be our eyes and our ears. Know your neighbors and neighborhood watch, and so you can be more aware and report strange things in your neighborhood to your local law enforcement agency. It's about being involved. The important thing is don't get into vigilantism. That's not about justice. That's about personal gratification and revenge. Justice is balanced and fair, and that's so we want to keep that in mind. Justice in law enforcement is fair, balanced. Let the professionals do what they do best, even under difficult circumstances. And we're trying to do everything that we can with the resources that we have.
Yeah, and I understand that, and I wholeheartedly support that idea. Vigilantism is there's no place for that in
right.
our society. However, when we keep cutting back, there's we've got to do something to help keep our community safe. And you do have the citizens volunteer patrols. I think there should be a campaign that people need to be able to you know, hey, call this number.
Mm-hmm.
Give us a heads up. Tell us what's going on, and so that, you know, at least you can be somewhat proactive.
Yeah, and we have Shasta County Secret Witness. We have the phone lines. People can be a little bit more involved, and they can help us. Number one thing, lock your cars. Take the keys out of it. Keep the keys out first, and then lock your car. Lock your house. We get a ton of burglaries that the house is not secured, and there's guns and jewelry out. If you own guns and if you can afford it, it'd be great to lock them up in a gun safe.
Yep, put them in a safe. You should do that for, you know, safety purposes anyway.
Yeah.
In a lot of cases,
right.
Especially if you got the kids coming for the holidays.
Right.
So yeah, the we got to take a break here. We get a lot of great comments here. Angel was talking about, you know, the problem with not prosecuting the misdemeanors is that they can become felonies.
Absolutely.
Quickly.
And it goes to lack of offender accountability. Just like we have the capacity releases at the jail because we don't have the room when they're sentenced or if they're in. They're getting out. It's kind of like the criminals thumbing their noses at the justice system.
Okay. Bruce, I'm sorry, Bruce, kept you waiting. You got a question for Tom.
Well, I certainly do. Good morning, Carl.
I'm sorry to keep you waiting like that.
Oh, that's okie dokie. Now that we had another Border Patrolman shot and killed, supposedly by the new verbiage, I guess would be a displaced foreign immigrant down there in Arizona yesterday. On 834B, the penal code that you guys work with, it really has some big, good teeth in there for checking on these illegals, on the status of illegal people, the way that I read that thing. And do you guys watch over that when you see activity like that of people? We're going to classify people as a Hispanic that are driving around the country and load van loads of them and stuff like that.
What we do when we come in contact with it, say somebody gets arrested at the jail, they're always checked for other warrants nationwide through databases. And then if these individuals are illegal aliens, that's a crime. We keep them here for local prosecution, and if the DA prosecutes on them, then they're held accountable. And if not, they're immediately deported. We call Border Patrol, ICE, Immigration, Customs Enforcement, and they come up on a regular basis and pick up people and ship them out.
If they show no identification, and when you ask for identification, like a whole carload of them, is that enough to, what would you do with a group like that?
Generally, we have to work within the law. Merely not having identification isn't a crime. Right. Falsely providing information to officers is a crime. So there used to be a law that you had to have identification and carry it. That was declared unconstitutional. That was decades ago. So it's on a case-by-case basis and what we're doing.
Hey, Bruce, we're going to have to take a break here. We're past our break time. But thanks so much for your phone call. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, home of Free Fire Media. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop. That's right, Cypress Square, right off Athens Avenue. Great haircuts, great prices. If you're a veteran, you get a discount. Man's Last Stronghold, my friends. That's right, Man's Last Stronghold. You need to go in there and get a haircut. DC Tim and that man in black. They'll cut your hair, do a great job, and you'll enjoy it. And don't worry about seeing Oprah on the TV. That'll never happen. Man's Last Stronghold. Cypress Square Barbershop, right off Athens. Our guest is Sheriff Tom Basenko, and here's a couple other questions are coming through. The chat room's going so fast. Essentially, is what it says is that the county sheriff may be the last bastion of defending the Constitution. Do you support the Constitution? And that's the question.
Absolutely. When I became a deputy, I take an oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of California against all enemies, foreign and domestic. All of my deputies that I swear in take that same oath. In a few weeks, when I was elected, I take the oath, and then in a few weeks, due to my reelection with other elected officials, I'll take that oath again at the Board of Supervisors meeting in January. That Constitution, the amendments, are all there for a reason, and they've survived for over 230 years because of our forefathers and their foresight when they wrote them.
You know, I don't know if people realize it, but, you know, in the state, there's only two people that can call people up to public service. One's the governor, and the other one is?
The sheriff.
So you can do that. You can call for volunteers.
I can. It is still on the books. It goes back to the days, just like when you see on the westerns of the sheriff calling up a posse, deputizing a group of people to go out and get a bad guy. That's still on the books. That can still happen today. Our search and rescue volunteers take that same oath, and they have deputy powers. We're always with them and helping us out, but they have that. If I ask someone to help me, a citizen, and that citizen refuses, that actually can be a crime violation right there. And that's part of that posse comitatus, deputizing a person that if a law enforcement officer needs assistance. That comes from the sheriff.
Well, you know, that's an important thing there, because the other thing, too, is that if a federal authorities come into our county, you can refuse to support that. Is that correct?
That's correct.
They can't arrest unless you give them permission.
They can't arrest for state law violations.
Okay.
So like the penal code.
Right.
They can't arrest for that because they don't have the authority. The only place they get that authority, it isn't from the chief of police. It's from the sheriff. And I have to authorize that, deputize them, and then they can basically co-enforce either federal or state law.
Okay.
And that's throughout the 58 counties of California.
I don't think people realize that. So, I mean, there's, the sheriff's department carries, swings a real big stick here when it comes to keeping the feds off of people's back,
mm-hmm.
as long as it has to do with the state,
mm-hmm.
like that. And the fact that you can call up people during times of emergency and you don't need to wait for the governor. Mm-hmm. And you could even have a standing posse, I guess, if you wanted to,
right.
as long as it was unpaid, that, you know, goes through regular training, which is what the search and rescue does.
Search and rescue does. We have some reserve deputies. They have to go through peace officer standard and training as well. So it is. And that's many, many times nationwide under the same circumstances.
Do you know about the... Oh, okay. What you wanted to talk about, and this was another guest just coming aboard. Hey, Charlie. Is about the dinner that's going on December 20th at the Veterans Hall from 4 to 8 p.m. It's going to be for veterans, but it's also going to be for police and first responders, and it's free. I don't know if you knew about that one that's coming in. It's going to be a turkey ham dinner December the 20th.
Oh, great.
Servicemen's Feast, but it's also military and families on of deployed veterans and widows, firefighters, law enforcement, Forest Service.
That's what's great about this community. They honor our veterans, our current service men and women, law enforcement, public safety. And that's what makes it great to live here.
Yeah, it is. Hey, we've got to take a break. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio. Our guest is Sheriff Tom DeSanko. We've got, there's so many questions coming in through the chat room. If I don't get to your questions, because they have rolled through a couple minutes ago, Bob's trying to keep track of them. But great questions, or just give us a call at 605-4567.
Walk back down. No,
welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, home of Free Fire Media. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive, great place. Joe and Shelley support this community and veterans and law enforcement, and it's everything they do. They're with Espresso Joe's and the coffee, the gifts they have there with the meeting room they provide free of charge to people. That's Tobacco and Brew. Great place, great people. Go down and visit them. Our guest, Sheriff Tom DeSanko. We got this, our last segment. Tom, you said we were getting some new equipment for the SWAT team.
For the SWAT team, there was a very generous donation of nearly $22,000 by some very giving people that have a property here. David and Virginia Hanna donated almost $22,000 for our SWAT team to purchase Springfield Armory 45 semi-auto handguns. It's called a tactical response pistol, the operator. Excellent handgun. It's carried by FBI hostage rescue team, the GSG-9 German team, the Mossad team from Israel, and tactical response teams all over the United States. Excellent handgun.
Now, you said this is a 45. Yeah.
It's a 45 on a 1911 design frame. The infamous design by John Browning that our nation's military carried for decades, and is still a great handgun.
Well, right now the special ops people in the Marine Corps have all gone back to the 45s, and we were doing when Force was doing hostage rescue, the 9mm just disappeared. They were
almost all 45s. Almost all of your spec op teams carry a specially designed 45. LAPD spec op for the SWAT team carries that same handgun as well.
Well, you know, it makes you wonder why people carry 45s for that. Why do police agencies limited to 9mm?
It's basically what the agency head wants. 9mm is very, very popular, high capacity, but it doesn't also have the knockdown power, kinetic energy of a 45. 40 caliber is probably carried nationally, I would say at least 85% of the market. Great, great round also, but hard to beat a 45 with 230 grains of lead steaming down the range.
Yeah, it was an attention gainer.
It is.
So, and who donated this?
David and Virginia Hanna. They have property up in eastern Shasta County. Very, very generous donation. We appreciate their support very much.
Well, you know, let's ring the bell for them, because that's good.
Yeah, you know,
small bell, but it's the only bell I have here. Somebody took my other.
You know, another thing that we're doing too. This next October marks the unfortunately the 20th anniversary when one of our deputies was murdered, Ken Perrigo, and also Dennis Skip Sullivan was killed in a on-duty traffic collision going to a hostage incident. And so, what I did a few months ago is started asking for donations, and we're going to dedicate bridges, memorial bridges in their names this next coming year. And if somebody wanted to send in a donation, if they could write a check to the Shasta County Peace Officers Memorial Coalition, care of Perrigo and Sullivan, they could send it to my office, they can send it to the Memorial Coalition, and that will help. Takes about $3,000 or so dollars to get those signs made up through the state. And then our Jim Nielsen, our legislator, has generously volunteered to carry legislation to approve that has to have state legislation to make a memorial bridge.
Oh, great.
So I'd loved if the supporters wanted to support that.
I guess as long as there's not a cross or a religious symbol on it, we've got a chance.
We'll have their name. And so someone passes by that bridge, they'll be remembered and never forgotten. I think that's very important.
Just got a couple minutes left. Next year, with the so a big thing is seeing where the funding's going. What's the what's right on the agenda right at the beginning of the year? Anything different?
Right at the beginning of the year is after we get sworn in, of course, will be mid-year budget review for the, all the county agencies, and that's what this hangs on. And it's a tipping point both at the state level. The governor-elect recognizes, in fact, it was in the SACB yesterday that he's finding out that the budget, state budget, is in much worse shape than he was aware of. So it's going to be a major.
Who said that?
Governor-elect Brown. That was in the SACB yesterday.
Wasn't he in the government for a long time?
Just a little bit.
So didn't realize it was this bad. Where did we hear this before?
Yeah.
Oh well.
If the state doesn't do anything,
blame it on Bush.
On the budget, there was a report out. There will be a $20 billion deficit until 2016.
Right.
Something has to change, and it has to be, spending has to be reduced.
But the thing is that, and as we all know it, I mean, there's certain things they're not going to touch. If close the borders and push that, and stop giving away that money. And, I think you could probably save a couple billion.
Roughly, the revenue that the state gets is about $85 billion a year. It's been $85 billion since about 2005. But what has exceeded that has been the spending, all the special programs and special interests. And it goes back to spend money you don't have.
Well, hey, our guest has been Sheriff Thomas Eichel. On that cheery note,
yes. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Tom, I hope this coming year is a safe year, and it's hope it's safe for our county.
I do, too. I worry about all of our men and women of law enforcement, public safety, fire, especially our men and women in the armed forces. The young man was recently lost his life.
Especially Samantha.
Yep, from Central Valley. And I just pray for everybody to be safe.
It is, and people a lot of times don't think about that. They're so busy with their with what they're doing for Christmas and the holidays, and sometimes we forget. We don't forget here though, and we're going to keep talking about it. Hey, tomorrow we're going to be joined by a number of people from around town talking about what's going on and the future of what's going on in our great city, and just kind of some open line things too. We're going to be talking about. Now, going to get up to, what is it, 44 today?
Actually, about 51.
51 degrees today, and tonight's going to get cold. The dinner that we were talking about for Monday, the Serviceman's Feast on December 20th, is free. So just go on down there.
Carl, always a pleasure. Love being here.
Oh, I always like you being here. Remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
KCNR Shasta Redding.